A very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dharma. Now it's 3 o'clock. Today is Sunday, 13th of December, 2020. We shall continue from our sharing using this book, The Path to Truth, for modern day Bodhisattva practitioner. We are at page 259. The title is Leaving a Legacy of Wisdom. We are commencing chapter 12, oh sorry, chapter 11, which is bringing education to the community, widely teaching the right path. So the first subheading of this chapter 11 is Leaving a Legacy of Wisdom. Then they had a saying from this chapter 1 of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, virtue. So I will read to you the stanza. They comprehend and distinguish the nature and appearance of reality. Here, they means referring to the bodhisattvas and all the great beings within the sutta. These are the great being that attended that particular sharing session. So these great beings, because of their cultivation, they comprehend and distinguish the nature and appearances of reality. So if you really want to understand reality or creation, or even life, you must have this ability. If you can't comprehend and distinguish the nature and appearances of reality, means you don't understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. Then once you can comprehend and distinguish the nature and appearances of reality, to them, existent or non-existent, long or short, it is very clear and apparent to them. Moreover, knowing well the capacity, natures, and desires of all, with dharani and the unhindered power of eloquence, they appeal to the Buddha to turn the Dhamma wheel, accommodating all as it turns. So this is the great compassion, the request for the Sammasambuddha to share that sutra of infinite meaning, to turn the Dhamma wheel. They let fall drops of dew to immerse the dust of desire. So this quote is from chapter 1, Virtue, from the Sutra of Infinite Meaning or Innumerable Meaning. So we will go into the sharing proper. Choosing the right path and moving steadily forward on it without regret is to fully dedicate one's life. Sirji volunteer Asan did just that. She devoted her life to doing sutta work, actively recruiting volunteers, participating in recycling projects, and helping out as a class mother at the local sutta academy for young children. She also got her own children to attend and to be involved with sutta. She told her children, "I will never regret joining Tsuji. Her determination and dedication are truly admirable. The purpose of learning the Buddha's way is to gain insight or to gain such wisdom. Who among us is immortal? Birth and death are nature's law." Oh, sorry, birth and death are laws of nature. What is important is how we live life between birth and death, and whether we are able to choose the right path. When we encounter an opportunity to do good deeds in this life and notice it in a timely manner, we will be able to realize the truth in life. So here it is the way the author put it. He said the reason why we study the Buddhist teaching or the Buddha Dharma or learning the Buddha's way is to gain such wisdom or insight. Then there is a question about who among us is immortal. Immortal means you have gone beyond birth and death. So this one needs wisdom. When you awaken, then that wisdom and awakening will let you understand that your nature within is eternal life. You can say it's immortal, but that one is not a being. It cannot come out and live life. So it's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. There is no such thing. That nature is the unconditioned, yes. You can say it's immortal, but it is not real. It's not what you think. It doesn't belong to you. It's a nature within each and every one of us. Our true nature before the arising of the mundane mind, before the first thought of ignorant condition us into negativity or heedless samsaric activity. Means the eternal birth and death cycle that living being has to perpetually go through before they realize the enlightenment or awakening. So the question of immortal, who is an immortal, depend on our wisdom. If we have the wisdom, we will understand. And if we have developed the wisdom, the understanding, and live life the Dhamma way, then life become different. There is meaning to life. So as per the author's the author mentioned this part. He said birth and death are laws of nature. What is important is how we live life between birth and death, and whether we are able to choose the right path is very important. Then when we encounter opportunity to perform goodness or wholesomeness in this life, we should seize upon it in a timely manner. Then we will be able to have the parami to realize the truth in life. So this part is based on the advice of the Buddha. Then we move on. The Sutra of Infinite Meaning says of Bodhisattvas, they comprehend and distinguish the nature and appearances of reality, existent or non-existent, long or short. It is very clear and apparent to them. Moreover, knowing well the capacity, the nature and desire of all, with dharani and the unhindered power of eloquence, they appeal to the Buddha to turn the Dhamma wheel, accommodating all as it turns. First, they let fall the dew, the drops of dew, to immerse the dust of desire. So this one is a repeat. To understand means to see things clearly, like a sun who was not confused at all. She knew what she should do in Tsuchi and devote her life to Tsuchi's activity and work to nurture her wisdom life. Being able to differentiate right from wrong and do what should be done is wisdom. A son would not do things or anything she should not, living without ignorance or delusion. She was already able to understand and clearly differentiate between right and wrong. So as a cultivator, this is the first thing you must develop. Without this, it's not easy to progress, to walk the path of Dhamma, then to have the good life, to understand life. She was truly dedicated. At the end of her life, she left clear instruction to her family. Daughter, you must take my receipt book and continue to collect donation from Tsuchi's donating member on my behalf. So this is the instruction she left behind for her daughter. Sister, please take over the recycling in this building. Son, even though I am not leaving you much money, I would still like you to fulfill my wish of becoming a Tsuchi honorary board member by donating 1 million Taiwan money to Tsuchi. So this is what she had in mind, the instruction. She understood that having a lot of money does not make a person happy. It is more important to contribute one's asset and spread great love to others. Devoting one's life to gain everlasting wisdom life is to understand the real nature and aspect of things. In the phrase, existent or non-existent, long or short, existent refers to the wondrous existent and non-existent refer to true emptiness. Asan clearly knew the difference between the wondrous existent and true emptiness. True emptiness refers to all that which is false and short-lived. Our lifetime is only a short span, or a span of decades. How long can that be? Life is short-lived, like the morning dew on a blade of glass. We had no control over the length of our existence, our life. Therefore, we must make good use of the physical body, which is temporary, which is a temporary convergence of the material of true emptiness to gain wondrous existence, which is true, everlasting wisdom life. So this one need a very deep comprehension of the Dhamma. Dhamma, there are two aspects. The conditioned Dhamma within the conditioned world and the true emptiness Dhamma of the unconditioned. The karmic law of cause and effect definitely exists. So this one is a Nietzsche's law, that's why it definitely exists, the law of karma. Therefore, we must have a clear understanding of true emptiness and wondrous existence. So this is what my nature has been sharing with you all this while. Unless you understand both sides, the wisdom of the conditioned world and the wisdom of true emptiness of the unconditioned, you cannot live life, you cannot comprehend life. So this understanding is very important. So as per the author's quote, this is very important. I'll go through it one more time. The law of karma or karmic law of cause and effect definitely exists. Therefore, we must have a clear understanding of true emptiness and wondrous existence. If we can see clearly the principle in this life, we will understand them more when they appear again. Life is impermanent. We may die at any moment. What is there that is worth fussing over? We must turn the Dhamma wheel on a regular basis with uninhibited eloquence. This means we must clearly pass on the Dhamma to others. We do not necessarily have to be eloquent in speech when we can convince others to our action. This is also eloquent. Therefore, not only should we tell people about true principle, we should also abide by them until people can clearly understand them. So this is another good way of teaching people. That's the reason why over the years of sharing, I always advise those Kayamita who are too keen to pass on their Dhamma knowledge or understanding to their children. They feel that this is very good, very important. Their children must learn. But many of them do encounter a problem or situation because when they are too eager to share with their children, one thing always pops up. The children are not interested and they become very upset. They become very frustrated. And sometimes they complain to me. They say, "Bratio, look at the kid nowadays. Ayo." There were a few circumstances where they say the children retorted back at them and tell them, "And now, I know what you're going to tell me." So I look at the situation, then for those who still lack understanding, I have to explain to them, advise them. I have to tell them, I say, the way you try to impart that understanding or that sharing and get them to learn this is not correct. That's why they are not interested and they retorted back at you. Because the best way to teach them is when there is condition to share, when they encounter problem and situation, then you find that there are causes and conditions for you to share, or they are more willing to listen at that time. And the best way to do it is to transform yourself first, I said. If you yourself have the embodiment of the teaching, the Dhamma, then you will change, you will transform. Character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise, you will become a different person. You will have virtue, kindness, goodness. You will have the quality of a cultivator, means you are no longer heedless like before, violating all the wrong speeches, means the way you speak and communicate with people, the way you do things, and the way you understand things, you lack refinement, you lack virtue, understanding, wisdom. So because of that, you don't hold the embodiment of the teaching. You are not cultivating the Dhamma in the sense that it should be cultivated. Means Dhamma has not become a part of you. You cannot have that embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path in you. And because of that, you are still not refined, not properly developed in your understanding. That's why you cannot share, you cannot teach, then there is no leadership by example. So there was a case, I remember, and the parent, they got this reaction, or the children retorted back and do a lot of all those things, say a lot of those things which are not so nice to listen. So that one upsets the parent. Then I told them, you have to be sensitive. If you were to put yourself in their shoe, what would they do? They will not accept what you say because they don't want to end up like you. Every time, like, nagging them, wanting them to follow your way, which is not what they want to do. And they don't have the understanding to understand why you want them to change. But they don't see that good thing in you. They don't want to end up like you, I told them. So I said, the best way is to change yourself, transform yourself, develop the understanding of the Dhamma so that you have the embodiment of that teaching, especially Noble Eightfold Path. Then when you can have that, you can become a leadership by example. Then your children will respect you. They will tend to be curious and they will inquire from you, what is it that has made you change for the better? How come nowadays you are so different? You are so liberal in your thinking. You are not so dogmatic anymore. You don't force people to do things. You don't create all the misunderstanding like last time. You don't speak harshly anymore. You have a lot of goodness, a lot of virtue, a lot of understanding, and you can be a blessing to many. And these are the things that they want to see. Then when they see, they know you have transformed, you have changed for the better. Then they will start to find out on their own how come their parents can become so different, transform for the better. So all these are very beautiful understanding and sharing. That if you can do that, your children will listen to you. Otherwise, no point. So I will read on that. Asan was wise. Was it that? Oh no, no, the other paragraph. Yeah, I haven't finished the other paragraph. Okay, I will go back one or two paragraphs before this. Therefore, not only should we tell people about true principle, we should also abide by them. Yeah, this is the part. You must abide by them too. You must also have the understanding to cultivate it until people can clearly understand them through your leadership, by example. So, Ciji's Dhamma wheel is infinite. Everything that we see and hear in this world contains the Dhamma. First, we let the drops of dew to emerge the dust of desire. So this one is the I think it's a type of what you call that, a type of saying to actually bring out the example that they want to bring up. So here, when it talks about drop of dew, this dew is like, if you look at Kuan Yin, the vase, that water or that dew that she had inside the vase, when it's poured out, it's supposed to be very pure and a blessing to all. So in this case, it's to immerse the dust of this oil so that your dust will not go out. So Asan taught her children by being an example for their mercy. This is what I mean, leadership by example. After she fall ill, she asked her children to donate money to help others. She hoped that her children would understand that she wanted to pass on her virtue to them, not monetary asset alone. Asan was wise to pass on her virtue to her children. This way of teaching by example or leadership by example and bestowing her legacy of Dharma wealth is the way, is the cultivation or practice of Tsuchi. I sincerely hope that every Tsuchi volunteer can put the Buddha's way into action so that they can truly experience it. I hope that they can diligently walk on the Bodhisattva path and become exemplary role models for others. So this is very true. On my own, I also found out that the best way to teach humanity is leadership by example. Just give me a minute. My throat is dry. I need to drink something. So leadership by example is very important. The cultivation part is very important. That's the reason why the Buddha taught us the three stages of Dharma practice. The three phases of Dharma. The three stages of Dharma practice is very useful. So phase one is studying the teaching, means you have to learn the teaching, the learning and the cultivation are two different things. So to practice or to cultivate, you need to understand the teaching. That's why you learn. So there is a phase one Dhamma which the Buddha called Pariyati. Pariyati is the learning of his teaching. So nowadays, learning can happen in many ways, but in the time of the Buddha, you have to personally listen to what he spoke or he proclaimed, feeling which you have to wait till Ananda repeat what he has heard from the Buddha. Or later on, you may have to listen from the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. But nowadays we are more fortunate. We have the internet, we have books, we have recordings, we have modern technology to help us record all those that we want to listen to. Then we have all this Dhamma teachings or material store within the internet. You can Google, you can check them, even our website, you can go into it and you can take your time at your own convenience to really listen to it, and you can reflect, contemplate to develop the understanding. So nowadays it's not just listening, you can even read from the text, from the books. Or we can also have this type of Dhamma sharing where we can learn from each other. Then we can also attend classes, retreat, seminar or whatever that are conducive. The only danger nowadays during our present era where we have is benefits of technology and internet. There are many sources of raw material or so-called teaching in open inverted comma. So you need to screen them because not all the teachings are authentic and true. So if you don't have the ability to screen, to make the difference, to understand, you can be misguided or become gullible. So to really have the good condition, you need to have good parami, good affinity with the triple gem. So this stage one, which is pariyatti, the learning of the teaching, is very useful. After you have learned them, then the phase two is patipatti. The Buddha said, put it into practice. So to put it into practice, you have to cultivate it until it becomes a part of you. Unless you cultivate it, it is of not much use. The learning may give you theory, some form of knowledge or understanding. But unless you can put it into practice, it becomes a living reality. Then you can make it into a living reality so that you can live this teaching. You can become a role model. That's why I say leadership by example. Means you not only speak the Dhamma, share the Dhamma, you can actually live it. It become a living reality. And you can like express this understanding and live it so that you can be a blessing to all. So this first two phases of Dhamma, you need to develop it. Then after that, the phase three of the Dhamma is the most beautiful. Phase three is the Pativeda. You get to reap the reward of your hard work. Means after you put it into cultivation or practice, then you develop the understanding and the awakening. You become enlightened. So this wisdom that you awaken to is connected to the form and mind. So once this happens, the form and mind is no longer deluded. And when the form and mind is no longer deluded, this is what they call enlightenment in the here and the now. Then that form and mind will not suffer anymore. But the form and mind is a beautiful vehicle and tool for you to come to this existential world to live the third phase of Dhamma, which is Pativeda, to experience the fruit of your hard work, means to live the life of an enlightened being, free of suffering, complete with the wisdom and the understanding and the virtue. Means you will have strong coming nature and spiritual nature to guide you, to help you, to protect you. And that phase of Dhamma is the most beautiful phase of your life. You can really live life to the fullest and get to experience the pristine beauty and wonders of life. That's what the Heart Sutta say, the wondrous life. So that wondrous life is the third phase of Dhamma. Then the other aspect of the teaching is there are three types of wisdom that can arise when you cultivate. So these three types of wisdom correspond to the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. The first turning gives rise to Sutta Maya means wisdom born of hearing the sutta. So nowadays you can include reading, contemplation and reflection and inquiry too. So the first phase of, the first turning wisdom is called Sutta Maya Panya, means wisdom born of hearing the sutta or understanding the sutta as proclaimed by the Buddha through reading books or Dhamma discussion or hearing any of this. Then after you have heard them, you can move on to the next phase of cultivation, which is the second turning. The second turning, the Buddha developed different emphasis for the four noble truths. Each noble truth, he has a different emphasis. And take for example the first noble truth. He said after he has proclaimed the first noble truth reality, the reality of life and existence, the eight condition. Then he moved on to the second turning. He said this first noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. So the emphasis is you have to understand it. Just based on this statement, you need to reflect and inquire and contemplate. Why did the Buddha say this? Why did he say this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood? Then you inquire, how can I understand it? So when you start to reflect, to contemplate, and to inquire, you develop more and more understanding. Means whatever you have read or listened early on, you can start to develop the stability of the understanding through reflection, contemplation, and inquiry. And when you do that, you can stabilize all this understanding and slowly, slowly assimilate them into your nature. And this type of wisdom is called Chintamaya Panya, wisdom born of constant reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the proclamation of truth or Dhamma that the Buddha has proclaimed. So this second turning is very important. That's why my teacher always advised me, we choose contemplate, reflect, and inquire until very, very clear all this Dhamma. And that was what I did in the early years. That's how I find it very beneficial, useful. And this first and second turning wisdom actually prepare me to receive truth. The Buddha called it Yoniso Manasikara. When you have this first and second turning wisdom developed, you have what they call Yoniso Manasikara, initial wisdom at the moment of sense experience. So this Yoniso Manasikara is very important. When you have stabilized them, assimilate them, and when they have become very stable within your nature. This second turning wisdom, which is called Chintamaya Panya, they will surface at every moment of sense experience. When you encounter a situation at the moment of sense experience, then this wisdom will prompt you. Yoniso Manasikara, they will surface. Then you will understand. Then from there, you will not be deceived and deluded. So your mind will not stir, will not react, will not arise the negativity of mind state. Means the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, you can prevent them from arising. It will subside. But without this Yoniso Manasikara, you can't. Every moment of sense experience due to your self delusion, Sakaya Ditti, habitual tendency, you will stir your mind, you will react, and you will get yourself entangled, afflicted, suffering will arise. So this is how the first and second turning wisdom can help you. Then after that, when you really put the Dhamma into cultivation, they call it Bhavana Maya Panya, the third turning wisdom, wisdom born of Dhamma cultivation or practice. Bhavana. Bhavana is the meditative discipline, the training. When you really meditate with mindfulness, with a silent mind, to awaken, and that is the third turning wisdom. And that one is very potent. When that one arises, it will always lead to awakening. It's just like the second turning of the first noble truth. The Buddha said this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood. So this will lead to the inquiry, the contemplation, the reflection. Then the third turning, the Buddha said this first noble truth or dukkha not only is to be understood, he said, has been understood. Means you have understood, you have awakened, you have understood what dukkha is, the cause of its arising, the cessation, and the path that leads to the cessation. That is, you have comprehend the four noble truths. That's why it's all about enlightenment in the here and the now. So similarly for the second noble truth, the third noble truth, and the fourth noble truth, there are different emphases. You want to know more, you go to the Heart Sutta and the teaching, and you can read them up. Here I may not have enough time to cover. So we will go on to the next topic, the next chapter. Teaching a humanistic culture. We are at page 263. Teaching a humanistic culture class in the mountains. So there is a saying from the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, based on chapter 1. As tamer or great tamers, they are disciplined in their conduct. They are like trainers of elephants and horses who can train anything that can be trained. So this one refers to great beings, great bodhisattvas and samasambuddhas. Then I will read on. Medical resources are far from sufficient in remote areas in Taiwan, especially in Aboriginal community high in the mountains. Every time Shiji International Medical Association, short form is DIMA, goes to this site to hold free clinic, I worry about their safety because they have to travel far and the roads are steep and dangerous. This is very true. Despite the hardship and danger, DIMA still regularly holds free clinics in Aboriginal communities. In one of the Aboriginal villages, the residents ate a lot of meat. They also enjoy alcohol or liquor, and often get drunk. Village officials told us that their average lifespan is around 50 years old. They have poor health because of their excessive drinking and eating habits. In addition, they also smoke and chew bitter nuts. As a result, the rate of diabetic and liver disease among them are rather high. So, DIMA, doctors realized that medical treatment alone could not resolve this fundamental problem, help education should be provided. In the light of this, they came out with the 4-in-1 free clinic, combining TMIA, 30 International Medical Association, doctors, faith corps members, 30 commissioner, and 30 teachers association teachers. So TIMA doctors save and protect the residents' life with great love and compassion. While 30 teachers association teachers continue the care and love by providing them with health education. Now, this is very important, as well as life education to safeguard their wisdom life. This teacher used 2 Saturdays each month to tutor the children, and at the same time, they also impart them with humanistic culture. As the adage says, it takes 10 years to cultivate a tree. Should be plant a tree, yeah? But 100 years to educate a person. In order to inspire the villagers to love and care for each other, for themselves, as well as others. Tsuji Teachers Association teachers had to start by helping them change their eating habits or living habits. The local teachers also told us that not only did the parent drink, sometimes even the student would come to school with smell of alcohol. When asked, why did you drink alcohol? They would reply that their father said drinking alcohol makes one manly, more manly. So the entire family considered drinking a pleasure. So people of all ages enjoy it together. Tsuji Teacher Association teachers did their best to help the student. They corrected their pronunciation of Mandarin and tutored them with their schoolwork. Most importantly, they taught them about such a humanistic culture. In the beginning, they had great difficulty just keeping the student quiet because they were too active and energetic. Some of the students even snuck out through the class from windows. Fortunately, the teachers treated the student as their own children and approached them with selfless love. They first engaged the students in activity to gain their attention and affection so that the children would want to listen or to hear what they had to say. The teachers taught the student Jing Si or Jing Si aphorism, and taught them to be contented with their life. The teachers taught them not to focus on what they lack, but to cherish what they have. Gradually, the students were able to remember and quote Jing Si aphorisms such as, to change oneself is to save oneself, to transform others is to save others. Through lessons of Tsuji humanistic culture, the student learned not to underestimate their ability and even brought forth their inner ability to help others. Now these students are on the right track, from being restless to being calm and settled. Their progress is impressive and a joy to watch. The beginning is always the most difficult. The student were not the only obstacle. The village had about 900 families. Most of them Catholic or Christian. Oh, this one complicates the thing. For this reason, most parents were against the CTA teachers coming into the village to tutor their children. They thought this teacher was coming to preach Buddhism, since Tsuchi is a Buddhist organization. The local principal and teachers visited each family to explain to them, and eventually one third of the family agreed to let their children be tutored. When the tutoring program produced remarkable results, the other parents hoped their children could also attend Tsuchi humanistic culture classes. Regardless of difficulty, we must make the effort to correct unwholesome lifestyle and promote humanistic culture. Developing people's kind and bright inner nature is the right path to take. Oh, good. At least we finish. Yeah? Okay, we will stop here. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. And these are the mind state you need to use to cultivate your daily life and daily mindfulness. Okay. We will now continue your second session. Second session is meditation reporting.
Brad Yu.
Yeah.
我想 share 我 Thursday 的一个 experience.
啊，可以。Very good. 好的。
星期四呢，我就上去 Kara.
啊。
啊，然后我朋友就在那边抓了一只那个鳖，我不懂你的人。知道什么是鳖吗？龟啊，那个。
哦，龟啊。
Turtle。
OK。
So 那个 turtle 哈，有4 kilo 大的。
哇，蛮大哦。
啊，对，然后哈，我就叫他们把那只鳖放了，我叫他们放了那只龟。OK， 可是他们就给我一大堆理由，就是。
Yeah.
我听不懂他们到底想把它怎么样啦，吼，我就然后我就after lunch 我就走了，然后我就就没再想那只东西，然后我就回来5点多，然后我就 continue 我的煮饭啊，吃饭啊，
yeah.
然后 continue 上课啊， you know，
对
Thursday 嘛。
Yeah.
然后吃完饭了之后，我有一个想法，就是哇，我好累，我不要上课。可是呢，我一洗完澡哦，我就坐下去就很精神的就继续上课。
Oh,
可是当我一坐下去 meditate 的时候哦，
啊，
那只鳖就 appear 在我的那 meditation，
yeah,
我就讲起那
yeah,
对，然后我就里面一个 emotion 就出来，就竟然哭了出来，因为不懂得怎样、
oh, okay.
不懂得怎样去解决这个问题，
yeah, yeah,
而且我的 subtle attachment 是说， yeah. 我看我要怎样救治这边。
呀呀呀！
So after that，
也一定会有那个
对，
yeah.
所以我就不懂怎么办，然后我就哎呀 ，as usual 咯，我就去找 Freddy， 我想问 Freddy， 我可不可以叫他们卖那只鳖给我，然后我拿去放掉？
然
后 Freddy 就讲，啊，你这样子用钱跟人家讲是不行的。然后他讲，不大讲啊 ，Think this way it has causes and conditions 。然后我就讲。哦、oh, ，OK， 我就静静，我就不再 interfere， but 我还是 send 了一个 message 跟我的朋友讲，
yeah.
请你们把它放了，
oh,
然后后面就加一个，
yeah.
然后又加一个阿弥陀佛，
阿弥陀佛，
然后我就在 meditate 哦，哎呦，他又 appear 哦，然后我就，哎呀，我就想到刚才 Freddy 讲的，然后我又想到。Beyond my ability 哦，然后我就 like you know 我就想到没有办法，我就 因为我知道地藏经里面讲是这种东西是 you know
对
那个因果
啊 very
然后我又不想我的朋友有事、
yeah.
我也不想那只龟有事，然后我就请地藏王菩萨 manifest 哈哈
对啊，
就我讲，如果 condition 可以的话，因为 beyond my ability 嘛，
对，
所以我就这样子讲了之后，然后我就继续 meditate， 然后继续听着 radio 讲课，他的 amazing 他是我一直听 radio 讲课跟阿 Joyce 啊 Padmasuri 还原所有的 sharing 我都听得很清楚，
是的，
可是有一个，就是我当下我也不懂为什么哈，然后第二天当我 contemplate 回去的时候哦，然后那个就是我当下我没有，我只是一个 awareness 在听这样子罢了，他就是 like aware 听，然后那个 bodily sensation 是没有的哦，没有来、like,
yeah, 你不会
feel 到你的 body 累啊什么什么之类，那个 mind 一点 agitation 也没有，听到十一点差不多 end 十一点就 OK 了，就完了。然后第二天哈、哦，然后我去吃 lunch 的时候，然后我就看了我的电话，早上的 whole day 我没有看电话，然后晚上我一看电话哈、
okay.
他们就说在 WhatsApp group 里面，我的朋友就讲，别卖50块，然后那个鱼生鱼就10块一条，有6条。
Okay.
然后就他们就说，那个他们就很喜欢捉弄我，那个讲阿弥陀佛的人给咯，这样子。然后我就讲 OK 好，然后我就
no problem， yeah。
对，然后我就打给我的 friend 说 OK 啊。然后我就给你们100块啊，全部我要了。
Yeah,
其实我的 friend 是在捉弄我，他们就已经打算4点多把他那些全部放了。
放掉了 yeah.
啊，就放他回去那个什么里面。
很好。
在这个过程里面哈、哦，我发觉到我们不应该去 interfere。
对。
有当下。当下哦，我就是 accept 那个 condition 了之后哦，
yeah.
我的 mind 就没有再去，然后再想下去了这个 condition。
对。
而且今天早上我跟他们喝茶的时候，最 beautiful part 是那个抓那只鬼的人，他说他整夜不能睡。
他说呀。
然后哦，他们第二天就打算放了他们。
呀。
所以 maybe brother Tio 可以给一点改变啊。
谢谢
brother Tio。
Thank you for the good question. So for the benefit of those who may not understand Mandarin, maybe I will just translate a bit. So the sharing by Alicia is very good.Is regarding the turtle incident. She was, I think, last Thursday before the class, early morning, they went out to Kana, where they have friends there, and they also, I think, have some plantation land there. Then, while there, they were having this incident where there was a turtle that they all caught and some fish. Then Alicia, because she has affinity with Ti Chang Wang Pusa, she also read the Ti Chang Jing before. The Ti Chang Wang is Earth Store Bodhisattva. She knew the karmic impact.Of killing the turtle that normally has long life is very severe. So out of love and compassion, she doesn't want the friend to experience those type of karmic fortune. And at the same time, the compassion for that turtle, according to her, that turtle was quite big, 4 or 5 kg. So she was trying her best at that time to appeal to the friend to release the turtle, and if possible, the fish also. But then somehow they didn't agree. Then she came back. Then there was our Thursday night class, meditation class. Then after the cooking everything and the traveling, she was actually very tired. She said she thought she would sleep or rest. But surprisingly, she was very alert. Then the mindfulness was very good. She can hear all the sharing by Sister Pamasuri and also Auntie Joyce. So that was the condition. But during the meditation, she was able to actually meditate, settle down. And then the vision came, the image of the turtle. And again, she has to like try her very best to do something. Then I think later on, she contacted Freddy. He said, why not we go and buy the turtle and release it? And Freddy told her, he said, the Buddha will never encourage that because this is equivalent to like trying to interfere or buy, use the money to buy and maybe do what you want to do. And she just reflect, contemplate, and let it be. Then later on, she decided otherwise, text to the friend, you can release it or appeal again, but there was no answer. Then the next day, I think they met up for breakfast, I think. So they had this discussion and sharing, but in the morning, she saw the WhatsApp, I think about 11 something or what. The WhatsApp said they had decided to sell the turtle for 50 ringgit. Then the fish for 10 ringgit each, I think, total 60 ringgit. 110, yeah, 60 and 50 is 110. Then she replied, okay, she will buy and release it. But actually, she found out later they were trying to pull her, like make her give her a surprise. Then actually, they said that they sell that Thursday itself, they already make that decision to actually release them. And it seems the person who caught that turtle, the friend, that whole night she cannot sleep. So that was the sharing and the story. Then she wants me to maybe share my experience and advice as how do we cultivate approach such situation when we are confronted with all these things. So this is a very good Dhamma topic, and most people don't have the clear understanding as how to act and how to go about resolving all this issue. For me, my nature, because I understand, I never interfere in anything. But if there is condition, I will do what Alicia has done. I may try to say a few words to let people understand so that if they can hit the advice or the sayings, the things that I share, then maybe it will help the situation. So what you can say is just, I think it's better to function, release, means the gift of life. So we are not really in such dire situation where we need the money. Yeah? Then you have to take the trouble to sell the turtle. So if they are Buddhist, then maybe you can say something. Yeah? This type of karma or this type of karmic conditioning, do you want to be involved? It's best not to get yourself entangled anymore. And the gift of life is very useful, very important. But you should not force people, because they have their views, they have their condition. They are just human beings. They are just the way they are. When their understanding is different, that's why Alicia experiences, they try to like make life difficult for her. Why? Why must we release it? You give us some good reason, and I'll just say, then somebody they may tease you. Wow, you really try to be a savior or what they call a great bodhisattva, toposana, to release suffering and all those things and have all this. But then there are certain people who don't understand, because they don't have the cultivation, they don't have that depth of understanding. They are not sensitive, they cannot feel all this. So for them, they will think it's a joke, it's fun, but all this has its coming. So for cultivator like us, especially Alicia, she has the understanding. She will know what to do, and what she has done is beautiful. That's why everything ends up well. Then regarding using money to buy, it depends on the situation and the condition. If they had decided to sell, then it's a good condition to just say, okay, I will buy over from you all. Then see how it goes. Then after that, you can maybe engage somebody to help you release it back to the pond or whatever. Then say some prayer for the turtle and the fish. Because of condition, this life be mad. And because of condition, I can do my part to help you free yourself from becoming killed or eaten by certain people who may want to eat turtle meat. Because some people are crazy for this type of fresh water fish and turtle. Then some may talk about, wow, this type of meat, very tasty, very nice. But the karmic that come with it can be quite severe, because turtle tend to live long life. Turtle is a symbol of the creature that survive in the ocean or water for a very long period. And their structure is such, they are born karmically with a shell to protect them. Actually, it's not easy to harm a turtle or to kill a turtle, because all their four legs and their head, they can just hide inside there. A lot of this understanding, when you have the cultivation, it will unfold. But like Alicia came to know, no need to cling and hold or attach to what happened, because thing is just the way it is. If it's meant to be, it will be. If it's not meant to be, it will not be. So in this particular case, maybe it's a test for Alicia, a condition for Alicia to develop the understanding. Then, like what we have gone through in the cultivation, whatever that you give meaning or give attention, that one has already gone in, accumulated in your memory, your brain. So when you try to meditate, the image of that turtle was faced. Yeah, it's an unresolved issue that she need to resolve. And sometimes because of certain coming affinity, it keep on appearing. That's why the one that caught the turtle revealed to them that the whole night she cannot sleep. She don't have the Buddhist belief, but she was affected. This is very true. Nature's law is not easy to comprehend. It's beyond the comprehension of most living beings, unless you are a true cultivator. So a true cultivator, their nature different, their understanding different, their sensitivity of mind states are different. So they know how to attend to all this situation, but they will not interfere, because sometimes it's coming, it has to go that way. Unless there is condition, it manifests, then you do something, like the case of Alicia. If there is no condition, just let things be. Because as I always share, in this world, there are a lot of poor, suffering beings. You can see them all over the world, even in many parts of India, even in the holy places, the Buddhist holy places, Bugaya and all this area. And even in Africa, the less fortunate area, where a lot of malnutrition, then now complicated with COVID and all this thing. But how many can you help? You cannot say, oh, out of compassion, I must help. There is no such thing. How many can you help? Even you have the means, you can't, because this is not help. This is not relief suffering. Unless you can have an organization like Suzy, who has the volunteers, the members, who are willing to do this work, and go to disaster area to relieve and help mitigate the situation. Otherwise, it's not easy. Otherwise, the duty normally fall on the government. But government being government, most of them are not interested in doing this type of thing, except the government that is very sincere, who do their duty very well. Like China, sincere intent to eradicate poverty is so sincere and so strong. That's why they go all out to actually do it and sacrifice for them and transform their livelihood and change their condition. And this is very wholesome, very, very wholesome. That's why sometimes in most countries, there are some individuals who started this NGOs, or sometimes on their own, they started doing recycling and all those things. Or there was one, I think Singh, a Malaysian age 68, he suddenly had this great idea of not polluting the environment and causing all the carbon discharge. So he tried to collect all this food waste, especially the fruits that people peel the skin and try to dispose of. So he talked to the store owner and said, where do you dispose of all this? So they say, in the rubbish dump. Oh, he said, if I want to come out with a project to do compost, to make full use of this, so that it will not end up in the landfill area where they have to dispose of all this garbage and food, waste food or extra food which they cannot finish. So he was very joyful because most of these store owners are more than happy to do their part. He said, you take, we can keep it for you in a plastic bag. Then whenever you come, you collect them. That's how he started. Then with, later on, he was quite successful with a group of helper and his friend who share the same belief system. Oh. Helping out in whatever little way they can. So that's how things happen at the moment within our society and some overseas country. Certain NGO, they go all out to actually help. But there is a limit to what you can do. Because I saw in the recent TV, they have this CNN series. Well, of course, a lot of people also commented that CNN also tend to share a lot of propaganda. But in this particular case, I think CNN did a good thing. Nowadays, the CNN channel network, I think, has improved. They have done a lot of humanistic thing, good thing. They show us a lot of scenery of what they have got in video. The story of this Venezuelan. Venezuela is a country that is terribly, I don't know how to use the word, because the governments all that took over earlier on was, of course, most of them are corrupt and other things. But now they have one legitimate president who was rightfully elected. But the trouble is, this one is not you listen to all the big nation who want to control you, not a puppet. To the Americans. So the European country and the American country, somehow they can sanction him now. Until the country becomes so badly affected, they are like bankrupt. Their currency is like not worth anything. At one time, it become like waste paper. Then now they were so bad, now they pack their whatever earning against US dollar, where they force them to go through that condition. And I was told the minimum wage, according to the sharing the video, is only $1 a month, not a day. And all those pensioners who are legitimate for pensioner, they only receive $1 a month. They really cannot survive. Then some with their children working, themselves working, their salary is only $2 a month. So with $3 one family, with some kids, how can they survive? Then their infrastructure was so bad. Water was not reliable. And they don't have proper infrastructure utility. Their power supply also off and on. And everything was very difficult, very expensive, high level unemployment. And they were in such mess, according to those interviews, they asked them about COVID-19, how they can cope and all those things. They say, survival is more important than COVID-19. COVID-19 is secondary. They don't even have enough food on the table. And they have to store whatever water that come by, or sometimes have to go and gather water from somewhere else. They are not. So those who are affected, which is the bulk of the population, about 90% of them, they really suffer. And all this nation, especially the Americans and the Europeans, they can still have that tie of heart to sanction such a country, prevent them from access to a lot of things. And Venezuela, from geography we know, it used to be a sovereign state that has a lot of petroleum reserve, oil reserve. But because it's South America, it gets itself entangled too. So it seems now Philippines also starting to have problem because of the lack of resources of the government, and also because of poverty. A lot of the refugee area, they are also affected. So what I'm trying to share is there are a lot of this type of people in the world. We can't, just because we are Buddhists, we want to help. It's impossible. Yeah, this is nature. Nature has its condition. Whatever that is of the nature to arise, there are causes and conditions behind. So we need to understand all this. We need to allow it to unfold. But we can send our blessings. We can radiate our love, our metta, and wish them well-being. Then whenever there is condition to help, we do our part. That is what Dhamma is all about. Because when you understand the unconditioned, like what we read through in the book, when it comes to the unconditioned, it's no mark, no reality. He know you, he know me. No mark of a self cultivating, no mark of living being, no mark of life. So all this understanding will be there. It's just the unfolding of nature's condition. Everything is karmically conditioned, dependent, originating, condition, arising, cause of phenomena. So when you can see from that point, then you will not get yourself entangled. Because the condition, Dhamma within the condition world has its law. The law of karma, everything, that one will unfold separately. Yeah. But the unconditioned Dhamma that we realize or awaken to, that one protects us from being afflicted, from being emotional, from being like eager or wanting to do things. When you lack understanding, the mundane mind take over. The mundane mind will rationalize. The mundane mind will analyze, will reason, will come out with all this right and wrong. It's nothing to do with right and wrong. When you understand, it is Dhamma. Dhamma means when there is condition for things to arise, it will arise. That's the reality. My teenager rolling by. Then when we come to this existential world, we need a form and mind. That's why this is our vehicle, our tool. Then with this, we can manifest, depend on our understanding and capacity to do something. Then we will know how to do our duties and things will unfold. Yeah, there is life, there is existence, there is reality. So all this need wisdom and understanding. So I feel that today's topic is very good. So we should all rejoice and thank Alicia for the good topic, so that I can have the condition to share all this understanding with you all, so that all cultivators in Kayamita will know how to act. Then sometimes you all can evolve your own understanding, because everyone is different. Then sometimes you also have to know different people different. it come to you, because sometimes it's a test for you to go through, like for Alicia's case, it's because of the affinity and the understanding, and for her to learn how to act. Because of the affinity, her affinity with the Earth Store Bodhisattva, Tijang Wang Phusa, she had that compassion, that feeling. She had the understanding, the sensitivity. That's why he has the ability to allow her to act, to actually become part of the condition that unfolds. Not everybody will go through that. So this is what you all can develop as understanding. And the sharing is very good. This is not my daily life, which the book never writes, which people never understand. So these are good sharing. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you so much, Alicia. So you can continue if you got anything else. Otherwise, you can nominate somebody.
Brother Teo, actually, 我不知道我跟这个德德 有什么 affinity. 因为之前我小的时候, 我在不知情的时候, 大概一定很小, 朋友的爸爸带我去吃了一次, 然后我就 病了三天三夜 然后之后我去了当看到鬼 又很怕 我不懂什么高密affinity
前世前世对所以因为你有照我的nature的feeling了你应该是有发过愿因为你跟地藏王菩萨有那个 affinity, then you know the yuan, that you have that vow, you will never take the meat of that whatever turtle. So because of that, I think it also show out in your life, like the various type of trip we went through, the spiritual trip. Then later on, after a while, you have this problem of the food throwing out and all those things, you remember? Then you try to go on vegetarian and all those things. Then finally, you resolve your problem. So it's a combination. That's why you fall sick for 3 days. Then there is fear whenever you see turtle. And this time with the Dhamma, you felt compassion. So all this can happen. So it's like you say, you knew that there is some form of affinity or connection between you and those turtle things. That's why you can sense it. So you share your childhood experience. Based on what you share, my nature can roughly know what are the conditions behind for this thing to manifest. Well, according to the Buddha, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So to resolve issue, to understand issue, we must listen to the whole sharing. And then only we can have a more clearer big picture of the whole thing. Otherwise, it's just a general thing. So what you share is very good. Sadhu, what else?
Sisi Paratio, the guidance, 还有 all the Kayamita, especially Asong the sharing, 还有 Sui the sharing, 还有 Manyun the sharing, 他们都, you know, 我们从中学习到很多, 就是, 其实 Brad就 讲了下功夫 我也很认真的去听了 所以我 come to understand 以前我读地藏经我觉得哇里面讲的那种因果好像很恐怖 可是当我现在理解之后 其实它是导人向善 它就是导人向善而不要去伤害那些
对对对
对，就是这样子。所以当下我的朋友讲什么什么，我其实没有跟他们讲什么，我只讲放了他吧，我就讲这句罢了。
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
就
enough already,
就
yeah,
嗯，
yeah,
就 enough 了。所以我想这次的 experience 真的很，我很 full of joy。当下他一放， yeah. 他们还录那个 video 给我看，你 know，怕我怕啊，他怕我 like no， 他就 worry 那个鬼，
yeah, yeah, yeah.
然后他就拍 video。当他一放那个鬼爬出来那刹那，哇，我 I was full of joy， 他又
说，
就是这样子。
I have seen all this video where they release the fishes and sometimes it could be turtle or whatever. You see, once they reach the water and they swim out, you can feel, you know, there is a type of joy in them, you know, that freedom. Even those small turtle that just after the egg, I think, hatch, then you see them on the small floor waiting for the wave to come. You know. So, while the wave was coming, they struggled so hard to go towards the water. But when the wave came, you saw the joy of all these small turtles. The way they swim out is like very natural. They don't need to learn how to swim. And you can feel the joy. And especially when you release something. I remember last night, my wife caught the rats. Then we decide to release it somewhere else in the padang or what. Then the maid was also there. Then when we open up the mouse trap, I saw that rat. Of course, he also was in a way, I think, for the whole night, because he was tempted by the nice smelling sotong. Sotong. So he went in. Yes, he is a very smart rat. First two times, don't want to test first. Then finally went in. But then when he was caught, he knew. Then I think he was expecting the worst. But when we release him, you can saw the joy, the way he run out. Wow, it's like freedom. So all this you can experience them, which is very true. Sadhu, and how?
Hello.
Merci.
Hello, Bratio. Good afternoon.
Merci.
And Kayanamita.
Yeah.
这么快又轮到我吗？for me, nothing much to share lah. Actually, anyway, I just do what I need to do.
Yeah, yeah.
For my cultivation. So, not a very, very fast progress. A little bit of improvement.
Yeah.
My meditation is more quiet now. So, that's what I feel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what I experience.
What about all those sharing in the classes that you follow and go through? Just some of these short videos are very good.
Oh yeah, all this sharing is very,
the
very
short
good.
Video and the
yeah, yeah.
Very good. Even I think yesterday my daughter sent out, I think the one by, was it Padmasuri?
Correct. But I have not listened to that yet.
My meditation on that one is very good. Understanding meditation, something to do with the silent mind. So that one is very good.
I will listen to that.
In fact, many of the short videos, they are all very good.
But I feel this is a very good platform for us to share, Bratio.
Yeah.
In order for us to progress further.
Correct, yes. Because nowadays, like I said, there are more and more conditions for the Dhamma in daily life to be shared, expressed. And people has progressed. Then because of that, their condition manifests the good condition for higher practice. For all the special understanding to arise. In the past, there is none, no such condition. That's why the sharing is different.
Beautiful.
More towards real life example, daily life. All these are very beautiful. I will try to get the title now. I have them. So the title is Meditate with Understanding. We are using the silent mind or the true mind. You all should listen to this because the video is very short, a few minutes only. So this one, you all should listen to it. You continue, Elsie. You can continue.
Okay. Maybe I just share a little bit of my office experiences.
That will be very useful. Yeah, like Manyuan used to share.
So we our office, we have a Middle East guy who worked in our office for quite a number of years. He actually sort of taking advantage of the female colleagues, you know. So in a way, it's molested, in a way. For so many of us, so many of the female colleagues, but we didn't talk about it until recently, few months ago. He actually sexually abuser. He put his hand on my female colleague's thigh, you know.
They call it sexual harassment.
Sexual harassment. So after this incident happened, we also discussed how we want to handle this case. Because we also have to we cannot just simply say it out.
You cannot simply accuse him or say it out unless there is proper witness and evidence. All this you need to build up some form of case study. Then based on that you can start some form of disciplinary action.
So after this incident, then only we talk about, the few incidents that happened earlier. So then we come to a conclusion that he did it intentionally.
He did it intentionally, because there is too many of these incidents. Otherwise, it won't keep on happening. Means he has been doing it for quite long.
So after that, then actually we wanted to keep it, just keep it
within your office. Secret. Most people try to keep it within the office. You need to take action, otherwise it may become beyond the office capability to mitigate. Because some of these people, they become more and more daring. If every time nothing happened, he thought he can have his way. Human behavior is such, they are full of delusion. Then because of lust, because of desire, they will manifest all this. Their thought process is terrible. That's why when you deal with this type of sensitive issue, we have to be careful, especially HR. HR not easy. That's why HR job is not easy. Subject to a lot of very severe type of situation where they can really be stressed out. And sometimes it's not easy to handle. Issue can be very complex, very complicated, where it involves emotion, fellow colleagues and staff. Then they are also very concerned that this thing become public knowledge, then the word will spread. Then their family member may come to know, and it become more and more complicated. Then their fear, the stress, the very severe mind conflict inside, say or not to say, report or not to report, the victim, the lady that is affected, we call it victim of circumstances, is not easy. They have to go through a tremendous mental situation where very few people can handle unless they have the Dhamma and the understanding. So it's not easy. Very, very true. Yeah. Yeah, you continue, Elsie.
Yeah, because of that, we also consider, we consider that. That's why after discussion, so we afraid if we don't say it out, then will be more victims fall into his hand, you know. So finally, we just reported to my boss, because we are a small company. So immediately my boss warned him, if ever he finds him to happen again one more time, so we will immediately sack him, you know. So because of that, he's angry with us.
If that's the case, better you all among your HR and your boss have a meeting and say, if this is the case, you all have to make a decision to report him, to report him to whatever. But you must have some form of verbal evidence, means somebody reported, then you all done some internal, they call internal audit, or internal type of inquiry. Then there are certain procedures. Then based on the number of reported cases, you have enough evidence, you can actually make a report. Then actually the police will come and arrest him first. Then they will do the investigation and all those things. But it may involve the victim to, like, the police will like call you in as witness to take your statement and all those things. But this is something you must do if you want to prevent this type of people from moving further. Otherwise, after that, because he is on this type of complaint, this may case, actually the company can, based on the warning given, the warning has to be in black and white recorded. Then because it happened again, you invoke your HR clauses or principle to actually dismiss him first, so that he is not capable of doing what he may do when he get angry. Because sometimes these people are very vengeful. So the best thing is, most of the case is to just dismiss them and solve the problem. So based on certain evidence and complaints. But different company got their own approach. So you have to find out. Your company is small, so maybe your boss can handle it easier. Those bigger company, they will have to set up a committee and all those things. But should deal with it when it is not severe. Because when it starts to become severe, it's actually not easy to resolve. Is he a violent guy, that guy?
Not really, but after the few incidents, we noticed that he's actually looking for opportunities each time, you know, when nobody around, just two person around only, and the other, another girl, female colleagues around, so he would do that. Other than that, normally he won't do that. He's also looking for opportunity. And we also don't want to make it big. And my boss also kind enough that to not to make this thing big lah, and yeah, then yeah. To keep him, just to warn him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so because of that, also, yeah.
He told the lie. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Hopefully, he will not do it anymore. Yeah. But once he come to into the open, I think he will have to be more careful. Unless he's a violent guy, then you nip it in the bud. Sometimes these people, they got mental issue on violent on. He's a foreigner.
He's a foreigner, and actually his work permit also due for renewal. So I told my boss, I hope that he wouldn't be able to get the permit, lah, you know.
Yeah, no need to renew for him. No need to renew for him. If that is the case, tell your boss.
No, my boss is kind enough to keep him, you know. Otherwise, then he will lose the job, and then he has to go back.
So I
told my boss, we just leave it to the universe, lah, I say.
Oh, if there's a case, easier. Yeah, he's a foreigner, so your boss warned him, and he still do that, you just terminate his service. Yeah, as a foreigner, very easy to terminate. Because the work permit...
Yeah, actually, terminate is easy. But because my boss is kind enough that to keep him, you know. Because of that.
Correct. Good. So, finally, you all just handle it this way, or is there anything else that you all decide to do?
No, we are more careful after this thing happened. We are more careful.
Sure.
We won't spend time with him alone.
Yeah.
We try not to be with him alone.
Yeah. To prevent the condition for it to happen. Then at the same time also, you all can actually do what they call that type of awareness. You can write a notice out to warn the other staff so that people feel confident and more brave to report all this type of thing. Means there is an avenue if whoever receives such harassment or whatever in any form, you are free to approach HR or whoever, or drop your whatever under anonymous, into a box or complain avenue where you all can actually help to attend to the situation. So all this can help.
We just keep within the female colleagues.
Within the female colleagues is enough. A lot of other victims early on, they kena before, they thought they are the only one that was affected. So they are quite reluctant to reveal any of these things. So there is this tendency to be shy. But once they know that this thing has been brought into the attention of top management and top management has given this the warning, then you just write a general, they call it what, circular, office circular to all the female staff. Whoever who has this experience of harassment, you can make your complaint. We are more than happy to help you look into all this and resolve all this. So it's a good way. Very good, Sadhu. Yeah, these are normally sensitive issue, not easy to deal with in the office. Sometimes we all, top management, have to deal with all this. Last time we all in the government department, we got a disciplinary committee who make decision to take disciplinary action against certain staff. So all this staff, sometimes they are involved in drugs, sometimes it's attendant problem, and sometimes it's because they do certain things that are not proper, leads to complain or such thing. So there are many. There are different ways to attend to things. Last time we all are in government department, so easy. there are common procedure to do all this. So most of the time when they want to set up this so-called disciplinary committee, somehow I was not involved. I don't know why. I normally get involved in other things, tender committee and other things. So all this depends. If you have that karmic conditioning or whatever, then sometimes if it's because the circumstances need you to actually help resolve the whatever issue, then it will manifest. Then you can actually participate and contribute in idea and understanding. This is very useful, so that in future, when future life, we don't know when it's our turn to be the victim, then people will help us too, because you, this time you help people resolve all this. And in future, whenever there is such condition, there are people who will help you resolve all this issue. So this is what Dhamma is all about. When there's condition, if it's within our ability to help, we should help. But we need to have understanding. Then we have to be tactful, sensitive, because it's not a straightforward thing. It's not about our views of things, then we just act. No, we need to consider quite a number of things.
Okay.
It's good. Sadhu to you, Elsie. Anything else? Anything else?
No. No. Oh, actually, we actually after knowing all this happened, we don't feel comfortable with him around, you know, but we cannot ask our boss to not to renew his contract also.
Correct. Not to feel.
That's why I just told my boss I leave it to the universe to decide. I said,
Yeah.
I hope we also hope he won't be able to get it, but still in the process until now.
Yeah. So if the renewal don't come through, he has to go on.
Yeah.
So good. Just let it be. Let nature decide.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Actually, nothing much to report also, but there is some understanding. Like just now I was sitting, and then I follow the usual steps. I relax, and then I focus on my breathing. Then after a while, the same thing again. Nothing's happening. Then I have this. I think it's my habit also. Then I say maybe I can see kind of feeling that I can feel. Then this time that it is a bit different. There's this understanding that why do I need to do that? Why I need to feel here and there? God lah, don't have lah. Just stick to your breathing. Then just like that lah, rather than nothing much, just like that only.
Yeah. Initially you have to go through this stage. That's why that mundane mind that try to question is the one that is creating the distraction for you, the heedless thinking. Because the mundane mind has this wrong view. He thinks that meditation must develop certain progress. He thought the awareness must come, the mindfulness must come. So all this is mental hindrance, distraction, because it's a craving, a desire. Mute when you're not present. There's a slight distortion there. I will explain further. Okay, muted already. So when you meditate, you don't try to know. Like I always say, just relax and maintain awareness. Then for your case, you try to develop anapanasati. So anapanasati means what? Relax, breathing in, away, breathing out, away. Just do, don't try to know. Until the awareness and the breathing move as one. It may take you up to half an hour, depend. But sometimes if you are able to do it well, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, you settle down. Then the breath become different. Then when there is awareness, you will know. Because the awareness and the thing move as one, there is no thought. You experience calmness, peacefulness, leading to piti and all those things. You have to go through all this. So meditation is not about one thing resolve, one thing to experience anything. No. The experience is already the thought process. What you should understand is, that's why that the video, the short video that Thomas Rees sent out, you go and listen to it. Meditate with understanding via the silent mind, the true mind. So if you cannot realize the silent mind, you cannot meditate. Then you have to understand what is meditation. Inside there, I have explained. I said, thought arise, let it be, let it arise. So what? The lack of peace, arise, which is a thought, let it arise. Accept the reality. Don't try to do anything. Don't try to suppress, control, or change it. Don't try to analyze. Don't try to reason. Forget about it, because that is not meditation. Meditation is to relax and maintain awareness. Just maintain the awareness and let the mind settle down. Whatever that arises, it will slow down. Then it will cease. You're supposed to experience that silent mind, the awareness nature, which is your true mind. So relax, maintain awareness means completely silent, don't try to know. Then stabilize the awareness. Then when the awareness stabilizes, that is your meditative mind, that is your silent mind, that is your true mind. From there, you understand a lot of things on your own. That one will meditate. You don't need to do anything. So this understanding may not be easy for you because you still haven't really grasped the clear understanding. So you listen to it and write down the notes. Then next time you will go beyond what you are doing. Then what you are doing is the thoughts still come in, but in a more friendly way. Where the thoughts say, so what? Not peaceful, not peaceful lah. Let it be. So it's actually let it be, but no need to verbalize, understand or not. Just understand that the mundane mind is of that nature to arise because you lack the spiritual faculty. You have not stabilized your city and you will experience all this. So let it be. Then you will know how to develop the meditation. What you need is patiently maintain awareness. As you maintain awareness, a lot of things will happen. Then, because you maintain awareness, you don't want to get involved, you don't want to give it any more mental energy or thinking or reasoning or whatever, duality, then this mind will not stir, will not react, will not try to do anything. Then it will slow down, slow down, slow down until the sankhara cease. You have to experience that. That is what we all call the shift in consciousness will come in. All of a sudden when your sankhara activity, your thought process, your thinking slow down until it becomes very quiet, then it appears like your consciousness has shifted. All the noisy thing, all the movement of sankhara activity, emotion, reaction, thought process, that one all gone. And when that one all gone, your true mind will surface. Just the awareness nature, that is aware. Stabilize that and you will progress. That is meditation. Okay, Maya? So go and listen to that short video. I think Sui just sent out this morning or yesterday, I forgot already. This morning, yesterday night. Go and listen to that video and it will help you. Okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, Alicia, yes.
I want to share 一个我的 meditation experience. Actually, I think 一个多月前，在我有一次的 sitting 里面， 他就是呈现四个字给我，他就是 like you know 道法自然。
Yeah,
very true. 道法自然、
啊、
，very deep meaning.
所以我就哦这样子了，然后我就出来了。
Yeah.
然后我就不知道那个道法自然其实是什么。
哦、oh, okay.。
然后来我才知道原来。它是一个自然法度，
yeah,
就是
对，
就是来术语讲的，
yeah,
世界宇宙万物都来，
对，
这个平衡这样子，
对对对。
就然后哈、哦，现在和所有我的 activity 里面哈、哦，
嗯，
它会 promote 自然。
Yeah, 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 very good. In fact, that is what your nature will prompt you.That forward is very important. Sometimes it comes from the gripings to let you understand. So, 道法 Dao is the way to cultivate. Fa is the Dhamma. 自然 means it is something natural. Natural means you accord and flow. There is nature's law. You don't resist. So, 道法自然 isSame as 一切有为法、because it's nature's law operating within the conditioned world. There are laws that governs life and nature. So this nature's law, 自然的因缘法，自然的因果 movement, you will see them all. That's like 道法自然 very beautiful saying. Very good, 沙雕。
所以他在我的 daily activity 里面、哦、他很多时候会 promote 自然
对对
这样子。
That is a very good pointer.
对，所以他就比一切菜啊，还是我contact with 那个大自然的植物啊，
对，
他任何东西都会有那个 like 自然法度啊，
yeah,
就是他自然
对。It will unfold on its own. 你不用去理它，不用去 interfere， 不用去做什么的，它该来就会来。Meant to be will be, not meant to be will not be. 你看到很清楚的， everything is just the way it is. Then got condition only you manifest. If no condition, you don't manifest. So this is a deeper cultivation.When you can have such understanding, you will progress very far. Then you become very different. Then people cannot predict the way you do things because you follow nature. You accord and flow. When there is no condition, nothing happens. When there is condition, things manifest. So you become less predictable. You are not rigid. Otherwise, people become rigid. I promised him already, you know. I already agree, you know, that we must go for this. We already have it in our schedule. So this is rigidity. Means 不自然 in the sense that when conditions unfold, you need to accord and flow. 因为道法是自然的，它不是一个那 rigid thing. Means这样就是这样，一定要这样，没有这回事的，因为一切都是因缘法。因缘法就是 follow condition. When condition manifests, thing arise. When condition cease to be, thing cease to be. So everything is just the way it is. Then 你就能够接受 the reality, means accept what is. What is the reality.It's just like the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. So that is the reality. That is what is. 因为因缘法已现出来了，它的因缘法是这样。Phenomena will be this way. 该来就来，该生就生，该灭就灭。That's like 生灭生灭。So everything is a very beautiful flow. Like my teacher said, only mighty nature rolling by. So you, as a witness, your awareness nature witness all this, then you only manifest through the mundane mind, the formal mind, to do your duty. You understand? Anyway, formal mind is subject to karma, it has its duty. That's why 佛法就是 做好你该做的东西, means right duty is right dhamma. So 那一段 very difficult for normal cultivator to do. And for you, when you can move into such stage, it's very good. Now this is the ultimate understanding. When you go through this stage of cultivation, it's unending a lot. But it's very beautiful. You start to understand many, many things. Then you start to have the patience to accept things the way it is. Then like you say, it keep on reminding you, 自然, 自然, 自然 means not to be rigid. 自然 means accord and flow, not to become rigid. Mm, very good, Sadhu.
Sadhu, 我不懂为什么他会这样现, 还有不久之前, 他又现四个字, 就他说, 实相般若,
实相般若, 什么是实相?
他是实相般若, 就是实相就是 truth of 那个, 那个怎样讲, 就是 wisdom 嘛, wisdom, 或者 say like 你, 我其实也是不是, but 我是知道, 为什么会实相般若, 然后我就 contemplate, 实相就是 truth 嘛, 就是 the isness.
Oh yeah, the isness of thing, 啊这样就对, that truth is a part of me, 实相般若, yeah, it's correct.
那就是说, 因缘法就是对，因为很多这些是你前世修过的
that's why 你有了 condition 啊, 它会 manifest 出来, 给你 recall 了解, then 你会懂得用了。 But this life you can stabilize it until it's part of you, then in future 你一听到 一闻到 or 一看到, 你就了解了的。 Otherwise, like this, like you have to wait till your cultivation reach that stage, then only it manifests for you. 道法自然. Then, just now, 什么波罗? 实相, 实相, the reality. 实相波罗. All these are very beautiful Dhamma sayings. They can help us in our cultivation when we have the profound deep understanding. Sadhu, very good. 很好.
谢谢,
Sadhu.
阿弥陀佛.
Yeah, 阿弥陀佛.
Hello, 阿弥陀佛.
Ah, 阿弥陀佛. Yeah, watching.
Yeah. Everyone,
yeah, Sadhu.
After hearing about Alicia's the turtle story, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I had this turtle. Actually, it's not turtle. What do you call it?
Tortoise. Is it tortoise?
Not tortoise. Not turtle.
Guia.
That you read from those shops, you know.
Oh, terrapin. My daughter says terrapin.
Terrapin. Yes.
Ah,
yes,
terrapin.
Yes, terrapin, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have this terrapin that is very
soft shell one. Soft shell.
Terrapin that we bought, very small one, right?
Yeah, is it the soft shell one, isn't it?
Yeah. No, the shell is very hard.
Oh, very hard.
Also.
Oh, flat one.
Yeah. But anyway, what my story is this. We had this, it was very small, and at that time, it's very cute, so we read it. And then, for a few years, I realized that this terrapin cannot grow one day. I was thinking, what happened to this terrapin? It cannot grow at all, but it's very cute like, because it cannot grow.
Yeah.
At the same time, we were worried maybe the food is not healthy or not right. But the terrapin, we like it very much. We have like a place for it to play, you know. It's
also
the place seems big. But then suddenly, one day, radio, the terrapin suddenly shoot up and grow so big, you know.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so So we also do not know if how come suddenly it doesn't grow. It doesn't grow for a few years. Then suddenly
it grows.
So then we say, ayo, so big is a problem also lah, because the place is very small, right, for it to move around. Because we have two, is it? So at that time, I not into Dharma yet, you know. So then we decide, but we also like the therapy very much. We said, let us release it to the nature, lah, go back to the nature,
Very good.
Too big, we got no place for it to move around, you know.
Yes.
We release it to the nature, lah.
Very good, Sadhu.
It's very fun. Actually, for the whole time that we had it, it's very fun.
It give you a lot of joy, yes.
Yes, it give you a lot of joy. Yeah. But now I think of it, I do not know for whatever reason. I'm thinking, you know, because actually we like so called animals. We want to keep it as a pet. It's more like to keep us happy, you know. To keep us like have some enjoyment looking after the animals, dog or terrapin or rabbits or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. But after a while, I think of it as it grow bigger and bigger, you know, it has become a space constraint and the animal is not free to move around anymore.
You can sense it. Then
it's
the condition for you to release it back to nature.
To nature. Yeah, so that is what we did, we released it to the nature, Then happened that my neighbor also had this terrapin, also started with small one. I noticed, because they put outside the house, But this terrapin is different, you know, it was like, it grew very fast, since beginning, just grew very fast, it's not like ours, it doesn't grow at all for a few years, you know. Then suddenly it just shook, you know, it become very big, you know. So it is so different, you know. Then I think of it, so interesting. The same terrapin, you know, they are different, they grow differently, you know. So it was like very nice that I able to share this story, you know.
In fact, it's good experience. I also didn't know about that. This is the first time I heard of it.
It's interesting, right? Just like when we grow fruits, right?
Suddenly it's flower and fruit, after many years.
We cannot decide like when it should fruit.
Correct.
Fruit, you know? You cannot tell it tree. Give me some fruit, you know.
It
will give you the fruits, you know.
So this
therapy also the same thing. When I want to grow, I grow.
That's why it's part of nature's condition. Now you understand. Yeah. Very good, Sadhu.
So that was the story I want to say about the therapy.
Thank you, Sadhu. Very good. Very interesting.
A short story.
No problem.
So
yes.
In this case, people
who
want to
rare
pets, it's okay, right?
Okay, it's okay, no problem. It's up to the individual. Just like your case, you have joy because you care for them.
Yes.
You love them and you have this joy that come with it. Yes. Then they also very happy when they are together with you. So the affinity part, it will end. When it end, it suddenly grow until you will come to understand that it's time to release them. Space constraint and all those things. So you can experience all this and you go through, you will understand this is what nature's condition is all about. So end of the day, you look back, was there a terrapin? Was there a turtle? Or was there a pet? None. It's the condition. The affinity. Yin yang fa.
Correct.
Yes.
But it was a lot of joy taking care of it.
Definitely. But that, that is the aspect of life. You way far. Aspect of life. Within the condition world, there is such thing as terrapin. There is such thing as poaching. There is such thing as life, existence.
So existence and non-existence is a duality. But when you understand the ultimate truth and the conventional reality, then you can coexist. One aspect is take care of karma, doing your duty, manifesting accordingly. Whatever that has affinity with you, they will arise. Then you can have that period of care, love, joy. So that is life, existence. That's why got affinity, you can you yen, you will see it come out. Mei yan fen, it will never show up. So you will understand more and more. Then like Alicia go to Tao Fa Zi Ran, very beautiful saying. It's a very beautiful saying. Very good, Sadhu. Thank you for the good sharing, watching Sadhu.